The following podcast is a presentation of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
Good afternoon and welcome. For those of you who do not know me, I'm Laura Hartz, the academic counselor here at WCL. I'm in the Office of Student Affairs and work closely with Dean Jaffe and Andra Infant. Today is Wellness Day here at WCL. Both Dean Jaffe and Andra have worked very hard to make Wellness Day possible and a success. As part of our Wellness Day events, I am proud to introduce Positive Strategies for Maintaining Wellness in a Tough Economy. This is a joint presentation by the Office of Career and Professional Development and the American University Counseling Center in cooperation with the Office of Student Affairs. First, we will hear some advice for legal job seekers tailored to our current economic climate from the Director of OCPD, Tracy Jenkins. Then, Kristen Bianchi, a clinical intern at the AU Counseling Center, will present on stress management and resiliency for job seekers. Tracy.
Thank you, Laura. So we know that there is a lot of stress around the current job search given the challenging market that we're facing. The stresses will probably vary depending on the level of students. The first-year students may be more stressed about classes and exams right now, whereas third-year students probably have more stress regarding the postgraduate employment job search. In any case, we're hoping that these five ways to empower you and to reduce stress associated with the job search will be helpful. The first point is to continue or to even begin the self-assessment process. Knowing what you want or what you don't want can greatly reduce stress and provide some clarity around your career development goals. There's still an opportunity to focus on these goals and how they can be achieved. Attending educational programs at WCL or programs outside of the law school are great ways to learn more about potential practice areas of interest. WCL, as you probably know, is a very vibrant community, and not only does our office sponsor close to 60 educational programs per year, but there are a number of opportunities where practitioners and other representatives from the legal community are here to discuss various types of employers as well as practice areas. And having that education and learning more about a potential area can greatly help in crafting your strategy moving forward. One of my favorite topics right now is to encourage individuals to take the time to engage in informational interviews. An informational interview is essentially meeting with someone, probably someone you don't know or perhaps a referral, talking with them about what they do and how that might fit into your career goals. It's a great opportunity to meet practitioners, professors, and other professionals while discovering a particular area of law or type of practice. So that's the first point, is just to continue or begin with the self-assessment phase. The second point is to get organized. We recognize that students are very busy and have competing interests, and there's a perception that there isn't enough time to accomplish it all, and we hear that very frequently during counseling sessions. Usually what I suggest to students is, create a schedule of your commitments to prevent feeling too overwhelmed with everything that needs to get done. I've even gone so far as practically suggesting that someone go to CVS and buy a calendar, because as you write down your commitments, it's very easy to see where there might be holes that can be used to help with your job search. After uncovering a realistic picture about the time that can be devoted to various activities, including your job search, we suggest creating a manageable, perhaps it's weekly, perhaps it's a daily, set of goals and devote time to those activities to advance your objectives. And that's a very important point. As you can further your career objectives, it may just make you feel better to know that you've taken one step a week or a couple steps a day towards your ultimate objectives can greatly reduce the stress that you may be feeling now. And finally, in terms of getting organized, if you hold yourself accountable for the progress that you make towards your goals, that can also be very helpful. It's one thing to set goals, but it's another thing to really say to yourself, did I achieve the goal that I set forth today, which could have been just an outreach email to a potential person for an informational interview, or perhaps it was searching on a job search engine to see if there are any opportunities in which you're interested in applying. So the second point to empower you is to try to get as organized as possible. The third point is to focus on the development of your legal skills. Take advantage of WCL's geographic location to explore a variety of employer sectors and practice areas. consider externships, internships, clinics, and other opportunities to develop practical, marketable legal skills, especially during the academic year. We're very fortunate to be in an environment that where we can have a competitive advantage because of our location. So to the extent that once you get organized and you figure out where your holes are, you have the time to devote to that type of activity, it can certainly help with your career development. You might consider pro bono work that can be credited towards the pro bono pledge program administered by the Office of Public Interest. Also consider joining or being an active and being an active participant in student groups that match your areas of interest. Again, we know that time is limited, but to the extent that you can help in organizing a panel or bringing a speaker on campus, that's one more networking opportunity that you're able to take advantage of. The fourth point is to be flexible and creative. Don't be afraid to think outside of the box. Is there more than one way to obtain your goal? Is it possible to immediately pursue an area that is related to the type of work you're ultimately interested in? Is there any flexibility in terms of the geographic area of focus? Have we considered secondary legal markets when researching employers? Most people recognize that Washington, D.C. is a very competitive legal market, but we are lucky to be here, lucky to take advantage of all that it has to offer. But you may also consider other markets that are outside of major cities if you have connections and an interest in pursuing those types of employers in the markets that are not in major markets. Look for any possibilities. A great example is an alumna that I talked with who applied to an employer seeking a 3 to 5 year associate, and she was just coming off of judicial clerkship. Once they actually interviewed her and met her, they realized that they really would like to have someone a little bit more junior. Especially with smaller employers, take advantage of the fact that they may be seeking help. The help that you can offer may be different than what they are looking for, but it doesn't mean that you can't take advantage of that opportunity to offer your services. And though it's not optimal for many, unpaid positions with judges, government agencies, and nonprofits provide excellent opportunities for building skills and connections. Is there any way to balance an unpaid position with another position that possibly pays? And finally, under the Be Creative and Flexible category, feel free to talk with other law students. If they enjoyed a particular experience with an employer, you might consider getting more information from them and following up to determine if the employer has current needs. And finally, probably my favorite category, is to be fully prepared for the job search, and this is where the Office of Career and Professional Development comes in. We believe that preparation leads to confidence and that you're making the best overall impression. If you haven't done so already, please consider meeting with a career counselor to make sure that your marketing materials, which include your resume and cover letter, are up to date and highlight experiences and skills that showcase a competitive advantage. Always be ready for an opportunity. Learn about various resources that can help with proactive outreach to employers. Practice interviewing with us and hone your networking skills during programs and events. Don't be afraid to meet new people. Not only build, but maintain your professional relationships. This may take time, so seize any opportunities both in WCL and outside of WCL to do so. And more importantly, and I guess the most important thing, and it might feed into Kristen's discussion, is to take care of yourself. It's virtually impossible to put your best foot forward if you're not feeling up to the challenge of even taking a look at a certain job search resource or maybe meeting someone for coffee to discuss their career path. So if you take care of yourself and you remember these 5 points, and I'll mention them again, continue and begin self-assessment, get organized, focus on your skill development, be flexible and creative, and finally, be fully prepared for the job search. We hope that taking all these things into consideration and maybe just doing one thing a week or one thing a day can greatly reduce the stress that you may be feeling given our current economy. And I'll turn it back over to Laura.
Thank you very much, Tracy. Now, Kristen Bianchi joins us from the AU Counseling Center. Kristen is a doctoral student working toward her degree in psychology here at AU. She also works as a clinical intern at the Counseling Center on main campus. Kristen's primary areas of clinical interest are anxiety disorders, particularly those that fall along the obsessive compulsive spectrum, as well as issues pertaining to cultural, gender, and sexual identity. Kristen, like the law students who are present today, is also required to find a job following the completion of her graduate work. She hopes to continue specializing in the treatment of anxiety disorders in her professional career. Kristen.
Thank you, Laura. A couple of things that I would like to talk about today are building resilience during the job search process and reducing the stress that's in your life. As any law student or grad student in general knows, stress is going to be a given as you pursue graduate study. One of the mechanisms that has been demonstrated to be helpful in enabling people to manage their stress is resilience. And when we say resilience, what we mean is strength in the face of adversity. Resilience has been shown to be one of the keys to life satisfaction. It can help prevent depression and enhance relationships. And it helps us deal with sudden and unexpected challenges, as well as challenges and changes that we anticipate but can't avoid. It also safeguards us against long-term difficulties. So we can see this in people, some of whom may have begun life from a disadvantaged position, but somehow managed to come out okay, to bounce back. And some people have this sort of built in to their personalities and their ways of seeing the world. That said, the good news is this is also a skill that can be learned and built. Resilience really is a way of behaving and thinking that can be taught, can be learned, but does require practice. Essentially, it involves an openness to finding your own way to cope through a situation and the determination not to see yourself as helpless in changing the situation. So, as we know, given the economy, given the nature of submitting numerous applications to jobs and externships and internships, we know that we're going to be getting a number of unpleasant curveballs. So I'd like to talk about a few ways to help yourself bounce back when one of these knocks you on the ground. So the first piece of advice that I would give is to try and view life's daily problems as opportunities to build resilience. It's in overcoming difficult situations that many people are able to gather strength and self-esteem. Try to manage your emotions by reacting to setbacks with grace, humor, strength, and optimism. And sometimes this can really be done most effectively in the company of others through increased social support. You can make a terrible interview, feel a whole lot better if you can eventually get to a point where you can sit with friends and joke about it at a later point in time. The next piece of advice would be to take a while to think through a problem that you may be having, to find the best solution, and then tell yourself to take the first step in initiating solving it. Again, as I previously mentioned, it's crucial to turn to other people for support. Sometimes just describing the situation, putting it into words, getting it off your chest can help you conceptualize it a little bit better and may even help you to develop some solutions as you talk it through. Try to keep the problem or situation in perspective. Oftentimes when people become very stressed and frustrated, their lens on the world and themselves becomes quite narrow and restricted. So it's important to remind yourself of the aspects of your life that are actually going well. We tend to place an increased focus on what's negative to the detriment of the many things that you are certainly doing well at the same time that you may be experiencing some challenges. And then lastly, and this is key, once you've gotten through a difficult situation, it's important to think about what you learned from that situation and what you can take from it. In this way, you can use this to apply to new situations and to also make yourself feel as if something good has come of the adversity, that this wasn't a total wash, because I've grown from it, I've learned from it, and I know how I would react in the future in a similar situation. Looking back on a situation and focusing on how you survived, how you got through it, as opposed to how you suffered, is a crucial factor in developing resilience. So how does this apply to job searches? There was an interesting study that was recently published on the job search. This particular study interviewed 327 job seekers. And what they found, essentially, is that in the first phase of job seeking, planning, acting on a plan, and reflecting on that plan were the most important predictors of success in finding jobs. Whereas in the second phase of the job search, maintaining positive emotions were the most important factors in predicting success in receiving a final job offer. So effectively what this means is that job seekers in the initial phase of seeking out interviews, doing research on settings in which they might like to work, should make a plan and should continually assess their progress in complying with that plan and to alter the plan as needed if it's not working out. It's also important to expect that there will be some rejection. This is an inevitable part of any grad student's experience, particularly with law and given the economy. So accepting and expecting that this is going to happen, but developing a strategy ahead of time to cope with this so that when it does happen, you can stay positive throughout the process. Being able to stay positive throughout the process has been shown to increase the chances of actually getting a job. So again, to just kind of sum up, in the first phase of job searching, it appears that planning, acting on the plan, and reflecting on the plan seem to be the key contributors to eventually securing a job, while in the second phase of job searching, which involves interviewing, maintaining positive emotions has been shown to be a key factor in securing a job offer. The last point that I'd like to address, which I'm sure there is, it is nothing new to you, is stress. It's certainly a familiar concept, I can imagine. It's interesting sometimes to step back from it and to look at what it really is. Essentially, stress is the way that we respond to changes in our lives. This includes physiological, emotional, cognitive and behavioral components, and not all stress is necessarily bad. Even positive change can be stressful, like getting married. Sometimes even imagined change can cause people to experience stress. Stress is very individualized, it's idiosyncratic, so what one person might find stressful might not necessarily apply to everyone. Stress occurs when something happens that we feel poses a demand on us. And when we perceive that we can't cope or we feel inadequate to meet the demand, we begin to experience stress. In terms of our bodies, when we find ourselves in situations that challenge us too much, we react with a fight or flight stress response. And this essentially releases a cluster of hormones into your body to signal that you are in an emergency, effectively. This then allows your body to begin coping as though you were in an emergency situation. Think being chased by a bear, perhaps. That's an analogy of which I'm pretty fond. But while stress can be adaptive to a point in that it keeps people motivated and alert, past a certain point, it can actually be very detrimental to a person's health. Prolonged stress can actually lead to disease processes that will develop later in life. And our body does let us know when we're experiencing chronic stress. So if you can identify when your body's telling you, this is too much, I'm stressed out, then we can intervene earlier to decrease the impact of prolonged stress. So physical symptoms of distress can include tension, fatigue, insomnia, muscle aches, digestive problems, changes in appetite, headaches, and restlessness. Mental symptoms can include forgetfulness, low productivity, confusion, trouble concentrating, low energy, negativity, and just having a busy mind, feeling like your thoughts are kind of racing and all over the place, like you can't turn it off. Emotionally, stress manifests as anxiety, as mood swings, irritability, depression, resentment, anger, impatience, worrying, and just a feeling of being pressured. Socially, this can be manifested as lashing out at others, a decreased sex drive, lack of intimacy with others in both a platonic and a romantic context, isolation, low frustration tolerance, loneliness, social avoidance, and the use or abuse of alcohol, tobacco, drugs, or caffeine. It can also manifest as spiritual symptoms that include apathy, a loss of direction, emptiness, a sense of loss of life's meaning, kind of feeling like you have a lack of purpose, almost as though you've sort of derailed from your path. But stress is something that can be managed. And again, just like building resilience, we can teach people to manage stress. Obviously, things we wouldn't advise would be to ignore the problem, to just continue avoiding or withdrawing from others, procrastinating, alcohol or drug abuse, smoking, overeating, inactivity, biting off more than you can chew, so overcommitting yourself, or buying things you don't need. Although retail therapy does feel awesome in the moment, it only contributes to the debt that so many grad students inevitably end up having. In terms of positive coping strategies, it's important to be aware of when you're beginning to feel stressed, to maintain a healthy and balanced diet, to get some exercise, to try and balance work and play, to practice relaxation techniques, meditate, develop a support system. I can't stress that strongly enough. Social support works wonders. To pace yourself and to try and simplify your life as much as you can, given the parameters of your program. So I just want to close in offering to you some information that the Counseling Center has to provide. The first is that we are offering a stress management through the practice of mindfulness meditation group on Mondays on the main campus of the Counseling Center from 1:10 to 2:25 p.m. And this group has the overarching goal of helping people to quiet their minds, to calm down their bodies by using strategies that include muscle relaxation, diaphragmatic breathing, and meditation. If you're interested in this group, then I would encourage you to call the Counseling Center 202-885-3500 and sign up as soon as possible. We are looking for members. We would love to have you if you would like to come. Secondly, I'll be leaving some handouts with Laura, one of which provides strategies for reducing the stress in your life. It kind of recapitulates what I just said. There's also a flyer that describes the mindfulness and meditation group. And then lastly, I've provided a list of podcasts for progressive muscle relaxation and mindfulness meditation that you can use on your own. And I encourage you, I always put the plug for our center, if you do become overwhelmed to the point that you feel as though you can't function, come in and see us as soon as possible. That's why we're here. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kristen. This concludes our podcast on wellness and strategies in the tough economic climate. Thank you very much.